Headlights suddenly flew around the corner, the car almost hitting the stocky one, forcing him to jump back toward the sidewalk. I dove into the road. This car was going to stop or have to hit me. But the silver car unexpectedly fishtailed around, skidding to a stop with the passenger door open just a few feet from me. "Get in," a furious voice commanded. It was amazing how instantaneously the choking fear vanished. Amazing how suddenly the feeling of security washed over me, even before I was off the street, as soon as I heard his voice. I jumped into the seat, slamming the door shut behind me. It was dark in the car. No light had come on with the opening of the door, and I could barely see his face in the glow from the dashboard. The tire squealed as he spun around to face north, accelerating too quickly, swerving toward the stunned men on the street. I caught a glimpse of them diving for the sidewalk as we straightened out and sped toward the harbor. "Put on your seatbelt," he commanded, and I realized I was clutching the seat with both hands. I quickly obeyed. The snap as the belt connected was loud in the darkness. He took a sharp left, racing forward, blowing through several stop signs without a pause. But I felt utterly safe, and for the moment, totally unconcerned about where we were going. I stared at his face in profound relief, relief that went beyond my sudden deliverance. I studied his flawless features in the limited light, waiting for my breath to return to normal, until it occurred to me that his expression was murderously angry. "Are you okay?" I asked, surprised at how hoarse my voice sounded. "No," he said curtly, and his tone was livid. I sat in silence, watching his face while his blazing eyes stared straight ahead until the car came to a sudden stop. I glanced around, but it was too dark to see anything besides the vague outline of dark trees crowding the roadside. We weren't in town anymore. "Bella?" he asked, his voice tight, controlled. "Yes?" My voice was still rough. I tried to clear my throat quietly. "Are you all right?" He still didn't look at me, but the fury was plain on his face. "Yes," I croaked softly. "Distract me, please," he ordered. "I'm sorry, what?" He exhaled sharply. "Just prattle about something unimportant until I calm down," he clarified, closing his eyes and pinching the bridge of his nose with his thumb and forefinger. I racked my brain for something trivial. "I'm going to run over Tyler Crowley tomorrow before school." He was still squeezing his eyes closed, but the corner of his mouth twitched. "Why?" "He's telling everyone that he's taking me to prom. Either he's insane or he's still trying to make up for almost killing me last... well, you remember it. And he thinks prom is somehow the correct way to do this. So I figure if I endanger his life, then we're even, and he can't keep trying to make amends. I don't need enemies, and maybe Lauren would back off if he left me alone. I might have to total his Sentra, though. If he doesn't have a ride, he can't take anyone to prom," I babbled on. "I heard about that." He sounded a bit more composed. "You did?" I asked in disbelief, my previous irritation flaring. "If he's paralyzed from the neck down, he can't go to the prom either," I muttered, refining my plan. Edward sighed and finally opened his eyes. "Better?" "Not really." I waited, but he didn't speak again. He leaned his head back against the seat, staring at the ceiling of the car. His face was rigid. "What's wrong?" My voice came out in a whisper. "Sometimes I have a problem with my temper, Bella." He was whispering too, and as he stared out the window, his eyes narrowed into slits. "But it wouldn't be helpful for me to turn around and hunt down those." He didn't finish his sentence, looking away, struggling for a moment to control his anger again. "At least," he continued, "that's what I'm trying to convince myself." "Oh," the word seemed inadequate, but I couldn't think of a better response. We sat in silence again. I glanced at the clock on the dashboard. It was past 6:30. "Jessica and Angela will be worried," I murmured. "I was supposed to meet them."